This is Vision Destiny 2020. In this series, I'm going to review some of the things that were key for me in 2019, sharing my journals. That will include what God said in 2019, things that God did, things that I did, experiences I had in 2019. And really, we're looking at what does that mean for 2020? So what heavenly season are we in now? What has God said for 2020 and beyond? What does God want us to do in 2020? Where does God want us to go in 2020? So evaluating what God has done in 2019 helps us to establish how we can cooperate and come into agreement with God for what is coming in 2020. Now, I give this caveat before all the sessions. Please don't believe anything I say just because I say it. If you resonate with anything in your spirit, or even if you object strongly to anything, I encourage you to take it back to God and openly ask Him to give you direct revelation yourself. Don't assume because you resonate that that automatically makes something right, and don't assume because you object that automatically makes it wrong. Be open to engage. It's always a partial picture that God is going to give you revelation for if you engage with Him personally. You know, I only share information from my revelations. They've come through my personal encounters and experiences. My conversations with the Father, they are like scripture to me because they are authoritative because He's spoken to me. To you, He needs to speak to you direct. So only by engaging God yourself can you have revelation, not information. We all need to know the truth. To know the truth means to know by experience, not by intellectual assent or agreement. Knowing the truth as a person, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, through the Spirit of truth who comes to reveal Him, and Jesus came to reveal us to the Father and to reveal the Father to us, we need to know that truth. We need to know the way. We need to know the truth, and we need to know the life by personal experience, in engagements, in reality, not just theoretically through information. Some of the major themes during 2019, the restoration of all things, which was a major area where I did a conference and various teaching sessions on that. The oracles of the Father's heart, which I'm going to share in detail today. Love's light and the power of love's light and the fact that we're supposed to arise and shine and be love's light to the world. Happy eschatology, that we've got good things to look forward to. Restoration, not destruction and doom and gloom. Joshua generation arising in sonship. Now, those are just some of the themes. As I review the journals, I see there are themes God repeated Himself a number of times to me so I could get the emphasis of what He was saying, and saying the same things in different ways right throughout the year. So when I began to do the ambassadors groups, and I did some ambassadors groups at the beginning of the year, we started to engage in heaven together around the four faces of God to get a mandate for each group. And in one of the groups, I was standing in the four faces, in the name of God, in the Holy of Holies, looking through the eyes of the ox face. Because I wanted to get a sense of what did this group carry in the prophetic or the heart of God for what this group was for. And so I was standing there, and wisdom came and stood in front of me and said, "Let me show you the oracles of the Father's heart." To which I was excited because I was looking for the Father's heart. I didn't understand what oracles were in that sense, but I realized that the ox face is represented by the oracle. So I began to engage. Now, I'm going to go into a little bit about oracles. You know, we are to be oracles and legislators. So what's an oracle and what are oracles? So an oracle is a person, and oracles are the things that the person says. So an oracle was someone who offered advice or a prophecy thought to have come directly from a divine source. This is just a dictionary definition. A prophesier, a prophet, a seer. A person or thing regarded as infallible authority on something. The oracles of God are the weight of His glory, expressed in words which we can connect to and carry the weight of in us. That is what the role of an oracle is. And I go into that a lot when we look at the order of Melchizedek and the role of oracles, legislators, kings and priests. So the Hebrew word for oracle, masa, is a load or a burden. In other words, carrying the load or the weight of a word, carrying it, completely embracing it and being it effectively. So the oracle carries the weight of the word, reflecting the heart of the Father. Oracles are the weight or intensity of the word of the Father's heart that we engage in cardiogenosis. When we get heart to heart, we receive oracles, not necessarily just in words that are spoken, but in principles, in precepts, in statutes that are embraced, knowledge of the heart imparted to us through that cardiogenosis process. The Greek word for oracles, logion, divine response or utterances, a divine declaration, a statement originating from God, the revelation of the heart of God expressed with meaning, feeling, and weight. This is not something you can just pass off as a word and then forget. This is something you're going to carry within you, and it will motivate you and engage you in that way. So while I was standing and wisdom was in front of me, she opened up her heart and I felt, it wasn't so much that she spoke to me, but I felt five intense truths that revealed the Father's heart towards all his children and all creation. This was an overwhelming experience, and in context, I felt that this was actually for all the ambassadors groups and actually for all the Joshua generation and his children. These feelings were the depths of truth expressed as the emotions that stirred and motivated my very being. This moved me deeply. So these are the oracles I felt as wisdom unveiled them to me. Passion. Burning desire. Intense joy. Deep compassion. Overwhelming love. Now, put all those together, and they're all expressions of actually who God is as love. And this is love demonstrated towards his children, towards creation, in a tangible way and in a way that expresses different aspects of love towards us that we can both experience and we can carry and then we can express. Because as we receive freely, we can freely give. So we carry these five emotions that connected to love, the oracles of the Father's heart, and then we can become an expression of the oracles because we can speak these and be these into being. Because the world needs the light of love. The world needs to know how God feels about them. The world and every individual needs to know that this is how God feels rather than the religious perspectives we have been presented with, the distorted view of God as the angry God, the God who's distant, the God who is disconnected from his people. This is the truth. He is totally connected to his people. In fact, he is at work in every one of his people, and he has included every one of his children into Christ. Therefore, Christ is at work in all of them to unveil this truth. But most people are veiled with darkness, and particularly the religious views of God, which in fear keep them from experiencing the realities of these oracles. And it's up to us both to experience them and be a demonstration of how we can express God's passion, burning desire, intense joy, deep compassion, overwhelming love to others, that we could be the light that unveils the light that's already within them, just as it was in Paul. When in Galatians 1:16, he described his Damascus Road encounter, that the Father was pleased to reveal Jesus in him and give him the mission to reveal Jesus in the Gentiles. Not that Jesus would be in the Gentiles or Jesus would be in him, but Jesus was already in him. And he was resisting the discipleship relationship that Jesus wanted with him, because he was following his own do-it-yourself religious path of self-righteousness, and he had to come to the point where he acknowledged, "Who are you, Lord?" and then surrendered to his lordship. This is what we have, a mission. We are ambassadors of reconciliation to also look to help people be reconciled to God as God has already reconciled himself to them. So this is passion of the Father's heart for all his children and creation, burning desire of the Father's heart for all his children and all creation, intense joy of the Father's heart towards all his children and all creation, deep compassion of the Father's heart for all his children and all creation, overwhelming love of the Father's heart for all his children and all creation. Now, I emphasize this because no one is left out and nothing is left out of this, which is the basis and the foundation of the restoration of all things. God's love for creation and God's desire to set creation free from its bondage to corruption into our freedom. So when we become free, creation can come free. And these oracles of the Father's heart are the foundational heart that he has for that. So we must experience the depth and weight of these oracles so we can reflect them to the world and truly be light. So wisdom said, let these oracles of the Father's heart motivate, inspire, and empower you to act in love. So this was a key experience, and this experience was emphasized and re-emphasized to me during the year. This was right at the beginning of the year, and it became a motivating fact when I began to engage in the Restoration of All Things teaching series and the conferences. God loves all of his children with an intensity that few have fully experienced, but all eventually will one way or another. God's love wins. God directs them towards us. He directs the oracles of his heart, his emotions, towards us so we can experience them. And we are responsible when we've experienced them to help others to experience them also. So the passion of unconditional love is pure, will never stop in its pursuit of intimacy in a restored relationship of face-to-face innocence with us. Now, this is what God said to me. Having experienced this encounter with wisdom, I took it back to the Father. I took it back to Father, Son, and Spirit. I went into their heart, if you like, and I asked, can you give me deeper insight? I've experienced the emotion, but I couldn't express the emotion fully. So I wanted revelation that came. What do they mean by passion? And this is what they said. The passion of unconditional love is pure, will never stop in its pursuit of intimacy in a restored relationship of face-to-face innocence with us. That is God's desire. He is passionate about restoring us to relationship. Ephesians 1:4, just as he chose us in Christ, in him, before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love. This is his passion. And he made sure that this was going to take place because he chose us. And the us there is not just the Ephesians. The us is the whole of creation. And he's chosen us. Even before he formed everything, he made sure that there would be a restoration of relationship and we would be able to come before him in blameless innocence. This is what it says in the Mirror Bible. He associated us in Christ before the fall of the world. Jesus is God's mind made up about us. He always knew in his love that he would present us again face to face before him in blameless innocence. That is his passion. The burning desire of unconditional love is so intense that it will be like a consuming fire that will refine and purify and consume all obstacles, hindrances, mindsets, beliefs, strongholds, and religious deceptions to reveal true love. So whatever's in the way, the fire of God's passionate desire, his burning desire, will purify and refine. One way or another, we all have to embrace God's nature as a consuming fire. Now, that nature is a loving nature. That's an unconditional love nature. Therefore, don't think of fire and think punishment. Think fire, think purification and refining by the nature of God's burning desire, his oracle of burning desire, that he wants us so desperately to come into this relationship and be free from everything that's hindering us in that relationship. The intense joy of the unconditional love the Father has for his children expresses the pure pride he feels for each unique individual, demonstrating how special and how wonderfully made each one is. Now, you may look at yourself and think less than. He looks at you and feels intense joy. That intense joy is a deep motivating factor. He wants you to know his joy. He wants you to know how he feels about you rather than how you feel about yourself or how the world may have made you feel about yourself or other people feel about you. He wants you to know how he feels about you. Intense joy. You bring joy to him just because of who you are. Maybe what you do doesn't bring joy to him, but who you are definitely does because it's unconditional love. The joy that the Father feels is revealed in the vast sum of his thoughts towards each of us, as we're each the apple of the Father's eye and the treasure of his heart. Each child is precious, appreciated, and so valued that the only price that could be paid in exchange for us is his own life. Now that sums up how deep the love of God goes. His intense joy reveals the infinite worth of each individual child far beyond any earthly measure. Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So it was for us that he endured taking our death so that we could have life. And it was that joy that he knew would come from relationship with us that he motivated him to go through what he did on our behalf for us. The deep compassion of unconditional love reveals the lengths and depths and heights that the Father will go to redeem, reconcile, and restore each and every child back to face-to-face innocence. And he's already gone through that because God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The Father was not separated from him, but was in him at work. They work this together with the Spirit in perfect unity and harmony. It reveals how far Jesus was willing to go to bring each child to wholeness, oneness, and health by taking on the brokenness of our lost identity physically, mentally, and emotionally in his own body on the cross, taking our death to give us resurrection life. That is how deeply compassionate he is about each of us. Identifying fully with our lostness, brokenness, pain, anguish, fragmentation, separation, isolation, rejection, guilt, shame, condemnation, and prejudice, by representing us and becoming us and going into death and Sheol for us, taking back the keys of death and hell, Hades, and revealing the overwhelming nature of his unconditional love. That will overcome and conquer everything that stands in the way of redemption, reconciliation, and restoration for each of his children. Even death itself is swallowed up in resurrection victory. The Father's mercy triumphs over the judgment of the do-it-yourself, law-based system that demands vengeance and retribution. And it does it with lavish and abundance of grace, inspired by the overwhelming, all-conquering power of his love for each of us. His love is awesome because it is who he is. Son, my overwhelming love will conquer all things, as it will not fail and will never give up. My overwhelming love is stronger than death. It's more jealous than the grave. Nothing can quench its fierce passion and burning desire for a restored relationship of face-to-face innocence. My love for each of my children cannot fail, cannot ever stop any more than I can cease to be I am. Love is the atmosphere of glory, the frequency of heaven, the timeless now within the circle of the dance. There can be no end to love. It's eternal, infinite, and is expanding throughout creation with my kingdom, government, and peace. My love has no beginning and no end. It's the Alpha and Omega, the Aleph and the Tav, the living word and truth. Love is the fullest expression and intrinsic essence of I am that I am. So learn to just be loved, living in the rest of love, joy, and peace. 1 Corinthians 3:2, love is who you are. You are not defined by your gift or deeds. Love gives context to faith. Moving mountains is not the point. Love is. Love is not about defending a point of view. Even if I'm prepared to give away everything I have and die a martyr's death, love does not have to prove itself by acts of supreme devotion or self-sacrifice. Love is large in being passionate about life and relentlessly patient in bearing the offenses and injuries of others with kindness. Because this is who God is. Love is completely content and strives for nothing. Love has no desire to make others feel inferior, has no need to sing its own praises. Love is predictable and does not behave out of character. Love is not ambitious. Love is not spiteful, gets no mileage out of another's mistakes. This is who God is. Love sees no joy in injustice. Love's delight is in everything that truth celebrates. Love is a fortress where everyone feels protected rather than exposed. This is who God love is. This is who God is, and we are in him. Love's persuasion is persistent. Love believes. Love never loses hope and always remains constant in contradiction. So no matter what's going on, God's love is a constant and eternal love because he is the eternal God. So the Greek word for love is of the love of God is agape, from the word agu, meaning to lead like a shepherd guides his sheep, and peo means to rest, i.e. he leads me beside still waters. And of course, that is the famous Psalm 23. And another version says, by the waters of reflection, my soul remembers who I am. And that's why we need to come to a place of rest, so we can remember who we really are, who he made us to be. We can truly know the reality of our identity in relationship with the Father, that we can know our sonship. God's rest is established upon his image and likeness redeemed in us. That rest is us coming to know who we are, made in his image, made in his likeness as sons, and he has redeemed that lost image so that we can be restored into the fullness of what sonship is. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now persuasion and every pleasurable expectation is completed in agape, love. Faith, hope, and love are in seamless union. Agape is the superlative of everything faith and hope has always knew to be true about me. Love defines my eternal moment. Love is the definition of who God is. It's the definition that we, through those oracles, can begin to experience that love expressed through passion and burning desire and intense joy and deep compassion and overwhelming love. Son, come walk with me. Now, I have a number of experiences where we walk together, and I know when God ever says, come walk with me, when the Father asks me to walk with him, there is usually something coming that is something profound or something which is going to be life-changing or life-transformatory. Now, we came and we went to the court of the upright, and we stood before the galleries of the cloud of witnesses, and Jacob came forward and grasped my hand. Immediately, there was a burst of energy and enlightenment. I felt something from Jacob. Now, I have history with Jacob. Jacob was the first of the cloud of witnesses I engaged in heaven. Jacob encouraged me to look at the open heaven Bethel testimony in Genesis, recorded in Genesis, where he had the dream and heaven was open and a ladder went from earth to heaven. And as I meditated on that, revelation came of the relationship of an open heaven with God dwelling in me and living in me, and I have access to heaven in me in that way. So I am a house of God. I am a mountain. I am a gateway of heaven into the earth. That's who I am. And Jacob helped me with that revelation. And then John 14 about being a house of God and being in him and in the day of resurrection, knowing that all creation was made alive in him, that revelation came from Jacob. So I have experience. And Jacob was digging a hole, and he was digging a hole, and I asked him what he was doing. He said, I'm digging a well. Now, this was a symbolic act because Jacob's well is the well where the Samaritan woman came and met Jesus. Jacob's well was a well that was outside of Israel, if you like, where people could come. And it was a reminder of their heritage, but also Jesus came and redefined it as the good news. The gospel is not restricted, but is open, and heaven is going to be open. And all of this stuff came. And I felt this as I, Jacob grasped my hand. I felt this energy, this enlightenment, this truth. And then various ones of the cloud of witnesses came and engaged me. Now, the first one who came was the Samaritan woman of Jacob's well. She came forward and she grasped my hand. Immediately, I felt her pain and the Father's passion for her inclusion, acceptance, and restoration to relationship and intimacy. I felt it. I felt what she felt to be excluded and an outsider because of her lifestyle. I felt that, and I felt Jesus expressing the passion of the Father's heart towards her. The immensity of the Father's heart overwhelmed me with a deep desire for all who are stigmatized and excluded because of lifestyle to be included and accepted and welcome to belong. Because that's what Jesus was demonstrating to her. The Jewish people, through the Jewish system, would have never endorsed him, A, talking to a woman, but talking to a Samaritan woman, and talking to a Samaritan woman who was living with somebody outside of the marriage bond would have been a no-no. But he redefined love, not to be restricted by religious systems and ideas of men, but by the Father's heart, the passion of the Father's heart. I understood why passion for people and wrath against the restrictions blocking people are the same word in Greek or gay. God is passionate, and his wrath is not against people, but against the restrictions that are stopping those people knowing his love. And then John came forward, the Apostle John, and he held my hand, and there was another charge of energy that blasted me with the deep truth of heart-to-heart fellowship, deep intimacy, the passion that he felt from Jesus that transformed a fisherman into a fisher of men. I felt that deep intimacy that he had when he lay on Jesus's breast, when he could describe himself as the apostle that Jesus loved. He knew something, and his gospel described something that the others didn't, because he had heart-to-heart cardiogenosis relationship with Jesus. The burning desire that he felt from Jesus for intimacy and relationship that transcended the barriers of the old covenant image of God to reveal the deepest desire for the restored face-to-face relationship of innocence. Heart-to-heart, mind-to-mind, face-to-face, where Jesus' passion and burning desire for intimacy and true connection, it just burst into my being from one who knows firsthand the depths that Jesus was prepared to go for them. The image of Jesus knocking on the door within all who are made alive in Christ, and the burning desire that all would open that door just exploded in my mind and in my heart. Realizing the things that John wrote as a revelation of Jesus, that we should embrace, that God is at work within all of creation, within all of mankind, within every one of his children, to encourage them to open that door and experience the light and the kingdom filling them. That is his burning, passionate desire. Then the woman who anointed Jesus with tears and perfume stepped forward and held my hand in her hands, and the light of truth burst forth with the intensity, the intense joy that she felt from Jesus' love for her and his intense joy of her response to his love for her. This was an amazing interaction that took place when she anointed him and his response to her, and how that made her feel again, because she was stigmatized. I sensed her deep shame, the feeling she felt as one who was an outcast in society, shamed because of her sin and deeply embarrassed by the way the religious system had stigmatized her for her lifestyle. I sensed all that, and yet overwhelmingly above that was the intense joy that she felt and Jesus felt. the intensity of the joy that Jesus felt as he welcomed her into the closest of relationships, and how proud he was when she poured the perfume over his head and feet. I felt his joy become her joy as he overwhelmed her with his most deep emotions, the intensity of his pride and joy that she was welcomed into his closest friends. I mean, this is emotion at a level that I'd never experienced before. Feeling their feelings of these cloud of witnesses. His feelings of intense joy that so contradicted the callous, dismissive attitude of society that had marginalized and stigmatized, causing her to be excluded and ostracized. Now, she felt that deeply in that society. The deep intensity of joy that empowered Jesus to leave the 99 and pursue the one lost sheep. That one lost sheep, lonely and outsider, inspired such passion, burning desire, and intense joy that Jesus was willing to go into the depths of Sheol to seek and find and rescue from perishing in lost identity and restore them to the fold. Jesus went and restored all of those back into the fold because of his passion, his burning desire, and intense joy. Jesus was the oracle of the Father's heart on earth, the light that revealed the Father on earth. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what he said. Him and the Father were one. One expression of love. And so can we be. And then the leprous man, the guy who returned to thank Jesus for his healing, he came and he grasped my hand. And the deep compassion that he felt from Jesus representing the Father's heart moved me. See, he knew Jesus was compassionate towards him. Because again, Jesus was not supposed to touch a leper or speak to a leper. And yet he did. The depth of the Father's desire for healing, health, wholeness consumed me with passion, burning desire, and intense joy. And the deep compassion when I felt the pain and fear of brokenness and fragmentation. The depth of the Father's compassion for the brokenness and lost identity of all his children is so immense that the Father in Jesus took all of mankind's brokenness into himself, so all his children could be restored to innocence and wholeness, redeemed from the curse of do-it-yourself evil pathway. And then Lazarus came forth, he grasped my hand. Immediately I felt the overwhelming love, that deep overwhelming love that caused Jesus to weep at his loss in the deception of death's grip. You see, Jesus wasn't weeping because he died. Jesus was weeping for his being bound in death and being bound in lost identity, because that is the power of death. It causes us to be trapped in lost identity. And of course, Jesus did something about it. I felt Jesus's love for Mary and Martha and all who grieve and are sorrowful over the loss of a loved one in the illusion of separation of death, because we have created a concept of death which separates us. That is an illusion. When someone that we love passes into the realms of heaven to be with Jesus, if they're believers at that point, we don't have to be separated from them. They are part of the church enrolled in heaven that we have access to. And if they do not know the love of God as yet, they go into the consuming fire of his loving presence for that fire to refine and purify and remove every obstacle and hindrance to them accepting the love of God and coming into the gates of the New Jerusalem, which are always open, by the way, to receive their relationship and engaging their relationship with him. And of course, we can actually go and we can preach to those who are imprisoned there, who are in that fiery place, and preach the good news of the love of God that will enable them to respond to God's love and be free from the guilt, shame, and condemnation and the torment and anguish they feel in their soul for their rejection of Jesus in this life. So we have an opportunity of seeing those, as Jesus did, calling Lazarus out of death back to life. we have the opportunity of calling those who've passed from life into death, out of death, back into life beyond the grave, because death is not the end of choice. Only way that people can come to the Father is through Jesus the Son, but the choice to accept Jesus as Lord does not end with physical death. I felt his overwhelming love for all his children that motivated him to carry our griefs and our sorrows to the cross. Then the power and victory of the cross captured my heart and my mind as it encapsulated the oracles of the God's heart. The cross and what Jesus did and what the Father did captured my heart, and I saw how powerful the victory of the cross is over death and all that will hinder and try and separate us from life. The celebration of life that bursts forth from the overcoming of death, the resurrection, the power of love that's stronger than death, and the joy of resurrection life that conquered death and the grave and brings the realization of the power of the oracles of God, the oracles of the Father's heart. Heaven's celebration when the keys of death and Hades are restored back to their rightful owner was and is intense and is filled with the joyful sound of jubilee, freedom, the cancellation of debts, the triumphant procession of freedom as all the chains are broken and all the powers of darkness are brought into the glorious light of love. You can read about that in Colossians. The fullest expression of the oracles of God's heart is the verdict of the cross that redeemed and restored innocence in full reconciliation with the cry, not guilty, innocent. And God has decreed over all of his creation, over all of his children, not guilty, innocent. This was agreed before the foundation of the world on the foundation stone of creation and was brought into time out of eternity, converging the eternal now into time at the cross, in which the cry went up, it is finished. Therefore, we are no longer guilty or innocent. Mercy had triumphed over judgment, and the grace of justice is released in the power of the good news. This is truly good news. Arise, shine, the light of love's power has come, and the glory of God's oracles is to radiate from us as the light of transfigured suns is revealed from heaven into the earth. The sound of heaven's joy and glorious harmony resounding to resonate on the earth is amplified through the intensity of the oracles of God's heart. Son, I am not a God of balance, but of extremes. Do not try to bring balance in what you do. I can come like a gentle breeze in total and absolute peace, and I can come like a tornado of mighty power. Don't try and balance these extremes. Embrace them and allow me to be me whenever you gather. So when we come together, let's let God be God. I can sometimes be a gentle stream of quiet waters, refreshing with peace and love, but I'm also a raging, passionate torrent sweeping all before me with extreme force. That's love. Don't try and balance my presence, just facilitate my presence and allow me to be me. I am the warm and comforting fire on a cold night and the raging, passionate fire purifying and refining everything in its path. Don't try and cage me, contain me, or limit me, but embrace the extremes of love and peace and the excesses of joy. Son, encouraging everyone to engage me for themselves in rest is good, but allowing me to come and minister to them in power is also good. Heaven is open, for God often comes here. As we gather, as well as us going to heaven, it's not one or the other, it's both. We need to go and engage him face to face. We need to welcome his presence to come and engage us in this realm face to face. Son, heaven is open and I invite all my children to come up here and be with me face to face. But don't forget, I desire also to come down through that open heaven to meet with you face to face in the physical realm. I am the God of extremes and excess, lavish, abundant, overflowing in grace and mercy. I am awesome in almighty power, untamable, uncontrollable, and unlimited. I am that I am. So do not let your mind limit me to your own understanding, but be ready for the unexpected and the surprising with no limitations of what is possible with me. Remember, I am in the still small voice and the mighty rushing wind. Therefore, I am gentle and humble in heart, but also passionate and wrathful in defense of my children. Son, don't try to tame me, as my love is excessive, burning with intense desire, passionate and extreme, overwhelming and effulgent. I am a consuming fire, passionately expressing my love. There are no depths, heights, or widths that I am not willing to go to remove every obstacle, barrier, and defense against my love. So nothing can separate my children from my love and presence. I am love, and I will not be denied. Romans 8:35. What will it take to distance us from the love of Christ? You name any potential calamity. Intense pressure of the worst possible kind, claustrophobia, persecution, destitution, loneliness, extreme exposure, life-threatening danger or war. His love has placed us above the reach of any onslaught. This is my conviction. No threat, whether it be in life or death, be it angelic beings, demonic powers, or political principalities, nothing known to us at this time or ever in the unknown future. No dimension of any calculation in time or space, nor any device yet to be invented, has what it takes to separate us from the love of God demonstrated in Christ. Jesus is our ultimate authority. Son, set and reset the desires of your heart. Refocus on the foundation, key foundation, that is rest. Bring everything into rest, focusing on love, joy, and peace to restore passion, desire, joy, compassion, and love. Son, my oracles are to be the motivation of all my children, but they all need to be experienced the depth of my heart of unconditional love. All of us need to experience the depth of God's heart of unconditional love. If in any way you see love as conditional, if any way your old thinking is old covenant in nature, allow him to transform your thinking, renew your mind, deconstruct that old covenant perspective so that you come from a new covenant, grace, unconditional love perspective. It is so key to embrace the unconditional love of God. Now, as a result of this, I produce some legislation. Legislation of the oracles of the Father's heart. So the context of this legislation, God is love, joy, and peace. God is light. God is good. God is kind. God is patient. God is faithful. God is merciful. God's grace is abundant. God's oracles towards creation are passion, burning desire, intense joy, deep compassion, and overwhelming love. Now, I want you to just come to that place right now. Just close your eyes. Just allow the emotions of God's oracles to overwhelm you and engage you. As I make these declarations and decrees, I encourage you, let your spirit embrace them. Let the emotions that they produce overwhelm you and bring you into a deeper relationship with the oracles of the Father's heart so you can experience the deep passion, burning desire, intense joy, deep compassion, and overwhelming love that God has for you as an individual. He loves you uniquely because you are made in his image. You are a child of God. And I encourage you to allow the depths of God's love, the unconditional nature of God's love, to overwhelm you and embrace you. So I just encourage you right now to close your eyes as I make these declarations. And I'm going to use the frequency of these crystal bowls to enhance and to extend the sound and the resonance of the frequency of these words. I release the sound of light and love into creation. I release the frequency of the oracles of the Father's heart into creation. I call creation to respond to the oracles of the Father's heart. I issue the sound of jubilee, the sound of freedom from all debts to creation. You are part of creation. I call creation to respond to the invitation to enter into the rest of love, joy, and peace. Let this sound, this invitation to enter into love, to enter into joy, to enter into peace. Let this sound, let this frequency of love, let this frequency of joy, let this frequency of peace surround you, encompass you, overwhelm you. I call for love's light to radiate with the frequency of the Father's goodness and kindness and patience. Let the frequency of the Father's goodness and kindness and patience resonate and reverberate in you and through you and around you. Be surrounded with goodness, kindness, and patience. I call for the oracles of the Father's heart to explode as love bombs over the Joshua generation, over his children. I call for the lightning bolts of revelation of the oracles of the Father's heart to penetrate the religious veils of deception. Let the love bombs explode. Let the lightning bolts penetrate. I call for the burning desire of the Father's heart towards all his children and the all of creation to be unveiled in love's light. I call for the intense joy of the Father's heart towards all his children to be unveiled in love's light. I call for the deep compassion of the Father's heart towards all his children to be unveiled in love's light. Let there be an unveiling of love's light. I call for the overwhelming love of the Father's heart towards all his children to be unveiled in love's light. I call for the oracles of the Father's heart to explode love's light into the wilderness of the religious systems of the old Moses order, to reveal the truth of fatherhood and sonship. I call for the oracles of the Father's heart to explode love's light into the darkness of the cosmos that have been veiled in unbelief and doubt of agnosticism and atheism. I call for the sons of God to arise and radiate love's light into the darkness of creation groaning in bondage to corruption. I call for the sons of God to be unveiled in the full revelation of the light of the oracles of the Father's heart before all of creation. I call for creation to enter into the rest of the relationship with restored identity, position, and purpose. I call for the increase of the government of the oracles of the Father's heart, for that to increase and expand and fill the whole of the created order with love's light. Let love's light shine. Let love's light go forth. I call forth for love, joy, and peace. I call forth for goodness and kindness and patience. I call for passion to go forth. I call for burning desire to go forth. I call for deep, intense joy to go forth. For that deep compassion and overwhelming love to go forth. I call for the oracles of the Father's heart to resonate within this sound, within this declaration. Let the sound of the oracles of the Father's heart surround you, go in you and through you. Let it resonate.